Good morning, good Moed. Hope everybody is enjoying a wonderful, terrific Yontif. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. And of course, this particular week, our learning is also sponsored in the great, wonderful memory of Rabbi Jerry Ackery, an incredible individual who lived a very, very exciting life of Torah Mitzvos and left an inspiration on many, many members of the Queens community and beyond. Yehi Zichron Baruch. We are in Sefer Shmuel Beis. We are up to Perek Yedaled. Now, the fact of the matter is that Yoav ben Tzruya saw that David's lev was al Avshalom, that David's heart was with his son Avshalom, which seems to suggest that David really wanted his son to see his son Avshalom again. And Yoav looked for a way to bring David back, to bring Avshalom back from where Avshalom had run away to Geshur. Only the king could judge Avshalom because he had not actually killed Amnon. He had sent unidentified servants to go ahead and do it, and no warning, no hasra was given. So Yoav summons a wise woman from Tekoa to carry out his plan. And he chooses Tekoa because it was far from Yerushalayim, and David would not recognize the woman in that situation. So Yoav instructed her to conduct herself as an avela, as a mourner, crying and wearing worn-out clothing, not having taken care of herself with oil. And after doing this for a period in time, she would come to the king for mishpat, and David would have mercy on her. After all, she was an almana, and he would listen to her, not to cause her pain. And she was supposed to tell the story of this great basis of the story, and she presented the case very much parallel to David and to the situation that David himself had with Amnon. And Yoav relied on her being able to answer any questions David might ask. And some say Yoav devised this imaginary case. Others say that no. He told her what happened with Avshalom and trusted her. So the woman approaches the guards at the gate and she asks to have her case brought before the king. And they told her since so many people were inside, the king wouldn't hear it. And so she entered and cried out to the king, "You should redeem me." She fell to the floor. She screamed again. She wanted to show that this is an urgent matter, and that only the king could resolve it, so the servants wouldn't push her away. And so David asked why she herself had come without her, instead of her husband, her son, or someone else. Women don't normally come in these circumstances. And she said she was a widow, her son was in hiding, and the rest of the family was the reason why she came. Her husband had died a long time ago, but it would be to her as if he died today if her remaining sons were killed. And she explained that her two sons had been fighting in a field when one rose up and killed the other. And no one was there to stop them in that situation. And so her family demanded that she reveal where the remaining brother was hiding, where the remaining son was hiding, to kill him as they were Goalei Hadam, even though there were no witnesses and there was no Hasra. And she said, "Look what's going to happen to me. They're going to knock out any of the life fire in me. My husband said his son is killed, and this son is all that's left. They're not doing this to be Goalei Hadam. They just want to wipe out my husband's name so that they can take the Yerusha." So David told her to go home, and he would order the family not to touch her son. There was no warning. There are no Edim. She doesn't have to worry about revenge because they had no halachic right to force her to be Megala, to reveal where her son was hiding. But David added that his servants would investigate to figure out if he deserved Misa, and if so, she would have to tell him where he was hiding. And so the woman said that David was simply saying this, and after she would go home, there would be no order. And who's going to be responsible when my son dies? So David told the woman to bring him whoever was asking about her son's whereabouts. He would give them the warning directly in front of her. And the woman asked that David swear that her son wouldn't be killed by a Goal Adam. There were just so many people who might take this on their hands. And if the king would only warn one of them, another would come and kill her son. But if the king swore that her son would not die, then everyone would hear about it, and everyone would be afraid. So the Koa woman now asked if she could add something. She planned to hint to David that she was actually not talking about a real story, but that she was hiding the fact that she was really giving him Musar about Avshalom. And so she says, "Why do you suspect that such a thing could occur among the nation of Hashem, that another person would kill for a murder that has no warning or witness? You should have understood that this is a parable to the mashal, to the story of Amnon and Avshalom in this situation." And so now, don't claim that you gave judgment and go back on your word. Avshalom also was not warned, so he should be brought home. Now, some people say that the woman was building on her request for her own son, saying that if you ruled that my son should live, no one will believe you. You haven't brought back Avshalom. So the woman continued to defend Avshalom, saying that all people die in the end, and therefore Avshalom shouldn't be punished so severely for taking Amnon's life before it was his time. This was done without any warning. The Torah doesn't prescribe the death penalty, that Avshalom would get his punishment from Hashem. And the Tekoa woman continued and said that, look, this people, that she had started with a mashal, instead of directly speaking about Avshalom, because she was afraid that David was going to be angry with her. And the people frightened her, saying that her cries wouldn't help, as the king would be angry if she spoke of Avshalom. And she therefore asked that the king consider her mashal and conduct himself entirely. And so David told the woman and warned her that he would ask a question and she must not withhold the truth. So she said, okay, go ahead, ask away. So David said, if she was sent, asked, were you sent by Yoav? And Yoav was the head of the Sanhedrin, and if he was advising David to bring Avshalom home, that would have to be taken very seriously. So the woman said, yes, Yoav told me to go ahead and bring the mashal. And had Yoav spoken to the king directly, he thought he wasn't going to get the outcome that he was expecting. So David's wisdom was like a Malach Hashem. She tells him, in the same wisdom that led him to know who sent her, surely makes him know all the things that take place in his Malchus. And later, David goes to Yoav and he says, since you sent me this woman to speak with me about Avshalom, you should be the one to go bring him back. Krayna d'igrisa, date pravanka, we say, the one who reads the letter, he should be the one to carry it out. And she says, you started the mitzvah, you go ahead and you bring and finish it off. So Yoav bows before the king. And Yoav says, look, now that you know that I did what you wanted, and he thought that meant that David forgave him, not only for this, but also for killing Avner ben Ner, now that he was forgiving Avshalom. So Yoav went to Geshur, and he brings Avshalom back to Yerushalayim, and David orders that Avshalom not be brought back through the main street. He's supposed to be brought back in a roundabout way, and not to David HaMelech, right? And that would show that David still didn't forgive Avshalom, and he disagreed with what he did. He thought what he did was completely and totally out of line. And Avshalom, who was so gorgeous, he was a very good-looking fellow, physically and spiritually, and the people get drawn to Avshalom. But it also caused him to become a very big balgaiva, a very haughty individual. And his incredible appearance had no effect on David, because David refused to see him, even though 4 years had gone by since the killing of Amnon. David assumed that Avshalom's spiritual state, and he saw that he still had the chait of killing his brother, meaning, say the Mefarshim, he had not done a complete and total tshuva in this situation. And Avshalom was a Nazir. He cut his hair only when the weight was too heavy. In other words, when the weight of the hair was worth 200 shekels. So Avshalom accepted the Naziris while he was in Geshur in order to make sure that he would serve Hashem if he were brought back to Yerushalayim. And so he lives in Yerushalayim for 2 years. He has three sons and one daughter whom he calls Tamar. And this was supposed to remind him what Amnon had done to his sister so that he would take revenge. And this name was given to ensure that his revenge for his sister's embarrassment not be forgotten. And all four of his children had died. Now David didn't come to be Menachem Avo, which shows Avshalom the extent of how much David really hated him, and it pushed him to rebel. So Avshalom calls Yoav, and he says to Yoav, bring me to the king. But Yoav didn't go. Avshalom then asked again, and he said no. And he realized Yoav wasn't coming, because he knew the king wouldn't see him. So Avshalom was bitter. He shouldn't have been brought back. He left Geshur, it only hurt him. And he decided to order his servants to burn Yoav's wheat field. And he says, Yoav's wheat field is next to his field, and that's the way it goes. Yoav goes to Avshalom, and he asks, why did you burn down my wheat field? And Avshalom said that when I called for you, you didn't come. So therefore, I ordered that your field be set on fire to force you to have to come to me. And look, presto, here you are. So he tells Yoav to ask David why he was brought back from Geshur if he couldn't see the king. It would have been better had to stay in Geshur where he didn't see where he was able to see the king, because after all, the king of Geshur was his mother's father. So let me explain to the king why I killed Amnon, and if he finds me guilty, let him come and kill me. And Avshalom wanted to say that he had killed Amnon for a reason. Amnon had been Ma'ana, had afflicted his sister and caused her a tremendous amount of disgrace. Others say that Avshalom meant that in Geshur he was safe. Now, in Am Yisrael, people could see that he wasn't comfortable with the king. He wasn't in good favor. And they would say that, look, David wants to kill him. And they would just take on the opportunity in of itself. And Yoav gives Avshalom's message back, and David summons Avshalom in front of him, and Avshalom bows in front of the king, and the king kissed him. And this is the end of today's parak, which Be'ezus Hashem will continue when we meet again tomorrow morning. Everybody have a fantastic, amazing day.